Back for another edition of the Habs 365 Draft Podcast. And it's one of those nights where I'm extremely pleased that part of the podcast has the word draft in it. Because if it was just talking about the Habs right now, Grant McKagg, a regular guest on the Habs 365 Draft Podcast, for me, it would, at this moment, be like pulling my teeth out of my mouth without any drugs and pliers. You had a better night than me. You got to watch Prospect's game. I just zoomed through it, looked at some of the key moments, but mostly watched the Habs. Who'd you like? Who'd you like in the Prospect? Let's look ahead to that draft and think that the Canadians going to draft around 5, 6, 7, 4, 8, 3. We'll see if they win the lottery. Who knows? Who'd you like?
Habs play tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
It was not pretty. I know you know that they played. I saw your stuff on Twitter.
Yeah,
but I actually, one tweet was kind of funny because when you made the tweet, I went, oh, shit, is he playing? Because I wasn't even aware. I was already through two periods. I don't think they said Logan Shaw's name.
Shaw Varan, yeah.
Not once?
No.
I don't think I heard his name.
Not too often.
I'm not sure he touched the puck.
Well, he looks like the new Dwight King there. I think they finally found his replacement. So
yeah.
let's hope that's not the directive for Timmins, you know. Find me another Dwight King.
Yeah.
Draft, you know.
Oh man.
yeah, so tonight's game. Well, it's funny, you know, like decade ago, the top prospects game was just so important for an independent scout because you didn't get to see a lot of, you know,
right.
A lot of some of these guys you hadn't even seen yet, you know,
right. And but with the inventions and everything, right?
All right. Now nowadays it's like you already know the guys. I mean, you see a guy like Sokolov score a goal and you know, make a couple of plays, and you think, oh yeah, well, okay, I'm not too excited about this, you know. You learn not to get too overly excited
right.
about
you
it.
You just texted me, for example, that Dobson, I didn't think he looked great tonight, and you said,
no,
well,
he didn't.
You know, you've seen him a lot of times, so don't get too excited that this wasn't a defender's
yeah.
night. This was an offensive guy's night. So.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've seen him have some poor games, and I mean, I've seen Bouchard have some poor games, and certainly, you know, you have to like what you saw from him tonight. When he's got the puck on a stick, he makes things happen, and you always like that in a prospect. Certainly, the Habs could use an offensive defenseman going forward. My concern with both of them at this point, and I mean, it's been raised to me, and you don't normally pay a lot of heed to it, but in the Habs' case, I think, which way the defensemen shoot, it might be something where they're really looking for the last defenseman that can play on the top pairing. If it's not, as much as I love Mete, he just can't shoot the puck. I don't know if you've noticed
for,
it, but
for sure, 100%, yeah.
And I mean, it's hard to be on the top pairing and be an offensive NHL defenseman if you don't have a shot, because it limits your options, and though people will take away the pass. And as great as he is, you know, as smart as he is, as skilled as he is, skating and stuff, he may never be a first pairing defenseman. And
just because of the shot,
just because of the shot, you know?
Right? Because not only does it take away, you know, it not only does the
chance.
Smart player obviously key on forcing him to pass. It also then limits what Weber can do, too, because everybody knows
yeah.
what they want. They want to force Mete to do.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so.
I mean, he does most of the time try to pass, you know. He'll
right.
pass up a good scoring opportunity because he knows he can't shoot, you know. His shot can improve. People have said that, but
he's a small guy.
Odds are at that age, you know, 5'9" guy that can't shoot very well is never going to be a above average shooter, you know. But anyways, they've drafted Brook, Juleson.
Sorry, I don't know this. Is Brook on the right too?
They are all right shot.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Dobson's a right shot. Bouchard's a right shot. Like, I think these guys are going somewhere in the 6 to 12 range. And if the Habs are drafting 6 to 12, which is what it does look like at this point, there's going to be centers there that, you know, maybe at the end of the day, they end up looking at perhaps instead. Wasn't crazy about Hayton tonight.
No.
Didn't do a pile. Skating seems to be the one thing that people are questioning a bit, and that this is the type of game where the top prospect game is a high-paced game, and you weed out some guys. Now, I don't know that he made a great pass. Like, you can see the smarts that he has. He made a really super fast for a goal in the game, but he certainly wasn't dominant because I don't know that he's got that extra gear. But, you know, there's Lundstrom as well, and those guys, I think Noel kind of worked his way back into the mix. He had a pretty good game. There's a kid like Wahlstrom that's a very good scorer, but he's a winger. It's going to be very interesting. I think that perhaps if the top guys are the right defensemen and they have a choice between that and the centerman who could be top two, I think they'll probably lean towards the centerman. But a lot there, we have a long way to go yet.
I mean,
you know, it, quite often what guys were talking about that are 6 to 12 now aren't, you know, or they're higher or something happens, and there's always going to be movement. So it's certainly too early to be trying to predict who they'll definitively draft.
Let me run this by you.
Yeah.
For me, and then this is just me because I don't watch it like you, so you can correct me.
I'd love to.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be bothered one bit. I mean, I know I'm just kind of reading. I don't see a lot of it. I see the highlights. I don't watch the full games. And I see their better moments, and those are just their peak moments, but not their whole game. But for me, I'm thinking if you're entirely looking at this like a Montreal Canadian fan, and people are listening to the podcast right now, I see it being that you want to be 1 through 5 to get the upper echelon. And then I feel like starting at 6, if you haven't gotten either the two defensemen that we all know of, Dahlin and Boqvist, if you haven't gotten Kachuk, if you haven't gotten Zadina, or if you haven't gotten the Russian, then now you're in the second tier, and you've got to get one of those five to get the first tier. Is that fair right now? And obviously it can change, but at the moment, is that a fair assessment that those five are a cut above?
I think so. There seems to be a five that, but again, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a draft in history where the top five guys end up being the top five players.
January to June.
No, just the fact, like the first five picks in the draft end up being the best five players that, you know.
As NHLers, you mean.
Right.
Like Barzal was 16th, and he's starting to look like one or the two from that draft.
Well, I mean, you go through any draft, you know, like the Galchenyuk draft, it was Murray and Reinhardt were in the top five. They were supposed to be a tier. They were supposed to be a tier above. And, you know, year, there's guys that are supposed to be a tier above. I mean, Ylevi went top five. He doesn't look like he, right now, it looks like he's one of the best five. Like, certainly McAvoy looks better, right?
Right.
Every draft I can give you an example. I don't think there's ever been a draft where the top five guys that are picked that are supposed to be a tier above everybody else ends up, you know, Puljujärvi was supposed to be a tier above Tkachuk and Dubois and McAvoy and Sergachev. Well, he might be, but certainly at this point, you'd argue that he's not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you make some great points. And so, that year that you pointed out with Reinhardt, he was four, and, you know, he's that year, I think the one and the four both failed, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, Yakupov's a failure, let's be honest. I mean, he's doing okay right now, but I think it's temporary. And he's going to go back to being a failure again, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he certainly doesn't look like a top five from that draft,
no.
You know?
No. No.
When you start even Teravainen, you know, who we saw tonight, is looking.
Yeah, his goal was unbelievable.
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw that. I ranked him second that year, actually. I mean, that's the kind of stuff.
Really?
That's the kind of stuff that I saw from him. Yeah, Galchenyuk won and Teravainen second.
Wow.
I did not like that draft, so, I mean, I had a different list altogether.
You didn't
Yakupov was not. No, he was not in my top two.
And
you
didn't like Murray that much
as a
defenseman?
No, I didn't. No, I had him fifth, I think.
Huh.
Something like that. Yeah.
I was emailing your whole list, your top 10 or whatever. I would be curious to see that. Teravainen at two. Where'd you have Forsberg?
Too low? Yeah, I think I had him ninth or something like that.
Well, that's where everybody
ended up. Well, most people, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was with McKean's, and actually, you know, I mean, my own personal list, I had him too low, but I was with McKean's, and we ended up ranking him, I think, second or third on the final list. So, you know, it was one of those years. So, yeah, sure. That sounds good to me. Like, I did the list with Ian, and we agreed that why not have him second, you know?
Yeah.
But they ended up with Yakupov at number one. I only contributed to a certain degree that year, but or it would have been Galchenyuk number one.
That year to me was the first year I probably looked at the draft with a lot of seriousness because the Canadians were terrible. So I really started to watch a lot and everything. And what struck me was I felt like that sometimes scouts kind of just follow the crowd. And so I really that year started to enjoy a guy's list that looked a little different, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
As opposed
yeah.
to a guy that was like, oh man, your list looks like you read, you know, the Cole's notes of everybody else's lists. So when there was like a list that stood out as being different, I was, you know, when somebody didn't have Yakupov one, and I was not that impressed with Yakupov either. So, you know, that was kind of like, wow, okay, this is an interesting list to me. You know what I mean? And then Teravainen, too, when he was like, I think a lot of people had him like 23, 24. And so if somebody didn't have him 23, 24, I went, well, this is a really interesting list because when you just look at the guy's stick skills, how can you have him at 24? He's a little magician.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no,
we digress. We're digressing here, but, you know.
I remember I emailed, it was 15th pick, and it was Ottawa's turn, and I know Timmy Murray, and I emailed him just before the pick, and I thought, holy freak, Teravainen is still there, and I just emailed him. I said, Teravainen?
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, no, we need one of the defensemen or whatever. They picked Cody Ceci.
Right.
Who I don't know.
Had some good moments and some bad.
Yeah, mostly bad. Ask Tina. She'll tell you. Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know, Tina's a friend of Grant. Yeah, no, absolutely. And he was in hot and heavy in trade rumors recently, too. So they seem a little bit disappointed with that package at the moment. Listen, back to the game. Tonight, the prospects game, not the Habs one, but where does Zadina's release rank among the prospects? Because, wow,
well,
he really
gets
the puck off quickly, doesn't he?
Yeah, for sure. He's like Tippett last year, like Line, maybe not like Line A, but you know, each year there's a guy that has the, seems to have that special release, and yeah, he's the guy as far as that goes. He's a sniper, no doubt about it. He just keeps doing it again and again, and you keep seeing it. So I certainly, so I have him. I have him as a top ranked forward in the draft, and it's going to be tough for him to get supplanted from that. But still, a lot of hockey left. We'll see.
The Sportsnet crew tonight seemed to have kept saying that the Russian was the top ranked forward. Is this true?
Well, he is on the Central's list, but not on...
He is on Central. Oh, he's ahead of Brady Tkachuk on Central's list.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah, he's ahead of the two of them on Central's
list.
Yeah.
I would not, at this moment, put him ahead of either of those two gentlemen.
No, well, certainly last year you would have said he was, and at the start of this year, but he did get hurt, and he's just getting back into the swing of things now, and I mean, it's tough. It's tough at the World Juniors too. He's a true 17-year-old. Don't forget playing at the that played at the World Juniors, and both Zadina and Tkachuk had already turned 18. I mean, they're in the same draft, but a little older as a late birthday. So You only put so much stock into the World Junior with draft eligible guys, and also especially at the top prospect. I don't think you drop guys too much from a top prospects game. Maybe some guys that you weren't sure about, you move up. Certainly, there were some guys though that disappointed, like Fonstad. I was worried about his skating going into this, and for me, he couldn't keep up. You could really see it with the pace of the quicker pace of this game. Sutter's another kid that those are two Western kids that, well, people have been thinking they might be second round guys, but after seeing them struggle the way they did tonight, I'd be really surprised. It's things like that that people take out of it more than anything. Where a fast paced game where.
Right.
Where you can really, something really stands out. Like you look at this, this is closer to the pace of an NHL game than they'll get in a WHL game, for instance.
Yeah.
So you, that's one thing that you can really judge is the skating, and it's one of the more important aspects of the game. And then, of course, they do all the testing and that, too. I'll be interested to see the results. I've heard Liam Foudy was very good, and Dobson excellent in all the drills. Like, just he's an amazing skater. He's a 6'3 kid, and he's just and he still has – he's only 180 pounds. I mean, once this kid fills out, like, he's not even strong yet, but he's
skates weak.
Like to win. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he's just wait till he fills out. You know, you have to project these guys, right? I mean, you only base so much on performance. It's the main focus is projection. Like, do they think well? Yeah. Do they skate well? Do they handle the puck? Do they compete? All those things. And then, you take all of the different categories and you try to project their NHL upside. And I mean, a kid like Rodrigue, the goalie, all he does is, every time he beat out Gravel for a spot in the Ivan Olenka team, like the starting spot, he goes head to head against him for the first half of the game. They're up 5-0, but he's 2.5 inches shorter.
Right.
And for goaltenders, that's just it's
the way
like
they're playing now, too.
It's like the 5'11". It's like the 5'11 quarterback versus the 6'3 quarterback. No matter how good the 5'11 guy is, it's the 6'3 guy that gets drafted top five, right?
Yep.
It's unfortunate that that's what it's become with goaltenders, that height is just so important, because an NHL sniper can beat you over the shoulder. There's that much more a true sniper can, that 2 inches that's available over the top of the shoulder, mm-hmm. under the crossbar,
yeah,
they'll find that, right? So
yeah.
It's unfortunate, but because the goalies, you know, with their equipment and their size and that, nowadays they can pretty much, it's not even athleticism in some regards. If you can cut down your angles, compete, come out and, you know, cover the net,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what they're looking for, more so than, oh, that great glove, or you remember the old days when Tony Esposito would make a, I mean, these guys were 5'7", 5'8", a lot of them, you know, 5'9".
Yeah, it was
a lot of
reflex.
All athleticism, right?
Yeah.
Was the main
yeah.
thing. Well, it's, unfortunately, it's not even the most important thing now. I think it's size. You know, if you can teach them the rest of it, then, I mean, if they're athletic, fine, and got size, it doesn't matter if they can't stop the puck. That the goalie coaches think that they can teach them to, you know, down the road. So it's that's the one area that I really have a problem with, because I don't know. I'm old school in that I still like the goalies that stop the puck.
Instead of having hit them.
Well, no, or let them in, you know. Like, I mean, this Gravel kid here, I mean, every time I see him, he's letting in 5 goals, you know. I don't care that he's 6'4".
Yeah.
I really don't. Or that,
yeah.
you know, oh, he might
Drop
get
the
better.
Damn buck. Yeah.
He might get better. Well, he's not good now, you know. So I wouldn't, I'm not going to try to project, oh, that maybe he might be better later. Give me the friggin' 6'1 guy that stops the puck. I really don't think that, you know, that couple inches difference is the end of the world. I can't be convinced of that, even though that's the height of a puck, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
how many guys on the Habs are that good a shot, you know, that they can – there aren't too many Jacques Lemaires playing on the Habs lineup right now that you just give them 2 inches and they take it. But anyway, that's another story.
True.
Let's not talk about that.
So I was really impressed with Bouchard tonight. Where do you have him ranked?
Yeah. Well, you were asking me, Bouchard, where do you have Bouchard ranked? Well, it was 2 Bouchards playing.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I only know the defensemen.
I don't know
they're
everybody,
both, dude.
They're both defensemen. But anyway.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Well, Evan, then. The one of the 4 points.
There was two, and there was 20, and 2-0. And two is the guy been one of my biggest risers, actually, over the past, since the start of the season. I had him kind of borderline first round, and now he's up to 11. So there haven't been too many. You like guys that are on the way up, obviously. And so CS just, and it's interesting because CS just released a list and had him 5 in North America. So certainly that's the trend that he's been going up. His defense looks better. Earlier in the year, it was he was making a lot of mistakes in his own zone. It was reminding me a little bit of Nathan Beaulieu in that department. Just some poor decisions and some lackadaisical play, casual play, and that's come along. I mean, he's in London, and they seem to have a knack for teaching these guys, you know, the right way to play. And he's a big kid. He's captain of London now. He's a really good kid, apparently. Like, just get nothing but good marks on his character. And with the puck, he's exceptional. He's putting up big points. He's got a bomb of a shot.
Would the Habs be interested in him? He seems more of a profile for Weber.
Well, he's a right shot. Eh?
He's a right shot, too?
So, I mean, unless they can pile, you know, put him on Weber's shoulders and then just leave the other side open, I don't know that'll work.
No, you make it sound like it's probably not going to.
Give them a really long stick. I don't know if they could you know, bend the rules there where you can go with a 10-foot long stick. sit on his shoulders and away you go, you know.
What's with all the right shots? I thought hockey players should do left shots.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, everybody
Wilson,
shoots my way.
Brooks,
all
everybody
these,
in the draft this year.
All these left-handers.
Well,
yeah. Usually you shoot the opposite of what you are, right? I know I'm a left-hander and I shoot right, but yeah, I mean, you go into the stick, the Canadian Tire, and there's like 10 right-handed sticks and 500 left-handed sticks.
Sure. I remember the Russians 1 year, they had their Olympic team over and they were 19 lefties and one right-handed guy. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take a right guy, Dobson is the one that plays more on the right, on the left-hand side. He plays quite a bit in Acadie on the left. Even tonight, he had some shifts on the left, and he seems like he's maybe the one that adapt a little more so to the left-hand side, even though I know, you know, that wasn't... You like Bouchard tonight, but again, it's one game, and it's an all-star game, and da-da-da-da-da.
Well, what about this? I mean, maybe they're one of them can be a lot like Jordy Benn and have the ability to play on both sides, or like tonight, the ability to play on both sides. You know what I mean?
The inability to play on both sides.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
The inability.
Yeah. I knew where you're going. I knew where you're going with that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, as I've mentioned too, you are. You know, supposedly drafting for at least 3 years down the road, and you know, maybe the guy that they pick eventually replaces Weber as on the first line, and then Brooke or
Julesen,
or somebody. Maybe one of them can play on the other side, or maybe you end up drafting another left defenseman in the future that can be a first line guy. But yeah, all I know is that right now it's not the ideal. Unfortunately, the guys that are in the 6 to 12 range, those two guys don't shoot left, and Hughes does. So that's one reason why. I mean, I got the Habs in the last mock draft; they were picking sixth, and Hughes was the guy.
Right.
I've been talking to more guys about Hughes.
Isn't Hughes small?
The size thing is a concern, and then the Habs would have 2.59
right
defensemen, and, you know, he's by no means great defensively. Although, I mean, obviously playing with a Weber, to a certain degree, that can be, you know, that can be covered up, but I don't think that that's the ideal 100% match either, but certainly you'd be quite excited about Hughes with the puck. He's just dynamic offensively. He's such a good skater that I think in the future there are going to be teams with couple of 5'9", 5'10", defensemen, and certainly Mete and Hughes. When you have the speed that those guys have, you can get away with it. But we'll see. We'll see if that's the route they go. Certainly it's a long ways away, and there'll be a lot of hockey to see yet.
My take on the draft for the Habs this year in a perfect world was, if they got a defenseman, it would be one of the two that could be ready pretty quickly. I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, Dahlin's going to be ready right away, and Boqvist could be ready right away, and the wingers could be ready right away. So they could actually have a player that can get into the lineup as soon as next year, whether they be a winger or a defenseman. I mean, that'd be the optimal, because the team obviously could use the help already. I mean, I can see Zadina firing shots next year with that release and putting him in.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think I can definitely see the Swedes defending well already in the NHL. So we'll see. Well, I mean, it's got to be exciting for the scouting.
The lottery
organization.
Lottery,
you know,
day will be a lottery.
Oh, it's going to be very exciting. The lottery day. Holy crap, eh?
That's going to be massive. I mean,
well, especially after last year when teams that were so far back moved up, it made you think, well, it can happen again, you know?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Just because you're seventh or finished seventh, you seem to have as good a chance as the friggin' team that finishes first.
It almost feels like it. It's not, but, I mean, it almost feels like it. I think the Habs are at a point where they are only at about 10% at winning the lottery, something like that, 10 or 11. Mm. So, but, you know, 11% is a lot better than zero.
Yeah. Well, Philly was outside the top 10, and they ended up with the second pick.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So.
But the kids having
never
some growing pains.
What's that? Yeah.
Their pick.
Oh,
Kevin.
Patrick.
No, Patrick, yeah.
Well, yeah.
A young man.
I didn't have him top two.
Pardon?
Didn't think that that's who they should have picked anyways. I had Heiskanen.
Yeah, and he looks excellent.
Yeah, quite a defenseman.
Yeah.
But, there's some question marks for me with Patrick, but hey, he's a rookie playing in the NHL. He missed most of the last season. He missed most of the start of this season. So we're going to be patient with that kid. And just like Puljujärvi, where you have to wait a year and a half, you know, certainly wait at least 2.5 years for Patrick because of his injury, and see in a couple of years where he's at.
One last question before I let you go. It's just popped into my head, and because it's the topic that pretty much everyone is talking about on my Twitter feed. Who are the Canadiens' six defensemen in 2 years? Weber, Mete, Petrie.
It obviously depends on the draft one this year.
Juulsen, and maybe one this year. Did that sound okay? Do you want me to do them again?
Well, they could trade for one. They could get one in free agency. They could draft one this year. So it's hard to say. But
Brooke?
I mean, Alzner, first of all. Definitely Alzner. I can hear your
would be what, one gone, you mean? Nobody gets
what are they going to do with him? So he'll be one of the six.
Well, no, you can't just say, what are you going to do with him? We're going to keep him even if he sucks. You got to bite the bullet and get rid of him. You got to bite the bullet. It's not going to kill them. It's 2/3 of the salary. It's not going to kill them.
No, but
3-2.
You're saying you think Brooke will be better than Alzner in 2 years?
In 2 years, yeah.
Like, it's going to take some time for these guys. I mean,
I think he's better than
maybe Alzner. Maybe Alzner's better next year.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because he's only 29, and I mean, it could. I don't know. Maybe he's got to get in a little better shape. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
All I know is that, you know, it's not going to be easy to trade him. So if you got to keep him, well, he could be one of the six. But certainly, ideally, if a guy like that is still with the team in 2 years, that he's playing like he's a sixth guy or seventh guy, right? Not on the second pairing, because I don't think that's. I don't agree with him playing 20 minutes a game. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that just tells you, like, it's hard to say. I mean,
because I have
Petrie, Weber, Juulsen, maybe Brooke.
Mete is five already.
Mete, so
if they drafted one, is six.
Well, again,
I have them winning the lottery.
You wait 2 to 3 years on.
I have them winning the lottery, Grant?
Yeah. Well, even Boqvist is not going to play next year. He's 5'11", 170 pounds, Brian. Mm. I mean, these kids have to mature physically. He's not ready. He's in August. He doesn't turn 18 until August. So, I mean, kid's not going to go
into
the...
How many times draft plus one are they... How many defensemen per year draft plus one make it? It's pretty rare, eh? Sergachev needed another year.
No, exactly.
Heiskanen
was the second pick, and he's not playing.
Right.
You know, no.
Ekblad
normally
right out of the draft. There's one rare one.
Yeah.
Pretty rare. I can only think of Ekblad, to be honest.
He was late, and he was already 220 pounds. He was a man-child,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
He was already mature. I mean, there's like one every 2 years or so.
Yeah, one guy sneaks in. And then Rasmus is going to for sure be one. I mean, everybody thinks it.
Who?
Dahlin.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's pretty rare, huh? Sergachev got his 9 games in and then went back down, which was predictable.
Yeah.
I'm just having a conversation with you.
Anyway, I know you seem to be. Yeah, you seem to be in. We're drafting a defenseman mode. But,
did you see
who
that?
Who knows? Well, yeah, but we've been playing
on the
Weber
first
too.
Goal against Jordy Benn. Did you see it? Was going around in circles. He was doing like a figure skating pirouette, and he had his stick up in the air, like over his head. You gotta see it. I don't know what his stick's doing over his head. He wasn't like fighting anyone or anything. It was like
rhythmic gymnastics on ice.
Yeah. It was like, why is your
like with
why
the ribbon?
Why is your stick up there? What are you doing a Statue of Liberty for? There's
okay,
a player
well,
in front of you.
Well, then I predict he'll be one of the six. It'll be there in 2 years. No,
you
I,
do, huh?
No, I don't. Sure. Yeah, just make you happy.
Mm.
And Morrow, Ben. let me think here.
Alsner.
Yeah, Alsner.
Jarabek made some good tries, but he wasn't good tonight at all.
It's hard to say. The best of the bunch, whatever they are, that's one. Juulsen, I say, will be there. Maybe learn out. We'll have to see. Next camp will be big for those two guys, and I think they'll be battling for a spot. Obviously, Lernout will need to clear waivers, so he might get the inside track at the start of next year.
Over Juulsen.
If there's only one spot.
Right.
You know, just like Delarose got the... Delarose got the you know, nod over Sherbach and McCarron because he was the only one that was eligible on waivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, as we've seen, even though he doesn't like to play them, they like to bury them. They still don't like to lose them. You know, they don't like to lose the assets. So,
correct. Well, I hope it's very active. I hope Bergevin is very, very active. I want him to be very active.
Right. Well, let's hope they are.
Yeah. All right, man.
Okay, you sound like
enjoy
you need
the All-Star
some sleep.
Break. We're going to take it easy.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. This has been Ab365 Podcast.